Madam Speaker, it's a good bill.
Frankly, I'm embarrassed.
The President of the Senate called a hot mess.
Oley Insider is an educational journey through the Washington State Legislature, following interesting and important bills through the legislative process.
This is a serious matter, Mr. Speaker. We're moving the wrong direction here.
Oley Insider is produced by Positive Intentions Media, hosted by citizen volunteers Erica Engelhart and Jay Fratt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, rising in support.
And it's the right thing to do.
Okay, here we are once again, Oley Insider Podcast coming live and direct from the Positive Intentions Media Studios in Olympia, Washington. I'm here with my partner in civic engagement, Erica Engelhart. What's up, Erica?
What's going on, everybody? It's been a busy week already, and it's not even over.
Yeah. And I am Jay Fratt. We are covering the legislature from a citizen volunteer perspective, learning every week we participate in trying to bring you along for the ride to help you learn and get you engaged into this civic engagement, participation in our governance. And this was the first week of the legislature. And one thing I drew from this, I didn't show up on the first day. It seems like there's a lot of activity and coverage and engagement in this first week. But I think that's typical, and it begins to die off from here.
Yeah, I think there is a little bit of built-up excitement, you know, everything getting back and going, but I think you're probably right. It will settle down.
And I heard for the governor's State of the State address, which was yesterday as we record this, I left. I was at the Capitol meeting with a representative to get a clip for this show, and I thought, oh, you know, I'm not going to go early to make sure I get a seat and watch. Representative Jim Walsh had an interesting experience during Lori Jenkins, Representative Jenkins, the Speaker of the House, during her address of the legislature. It was so odious in its rancor, talking about Trump and the impacts of the federal government, that he actually had to leave his desk and retreat to the wings. So I was trepidatious as to watching from the gallery, the State of the State by Governor Bob Ferguson. But the reports were that the galleries were not full. In other words, there was plenty of seating. And that's interesting, just little tidbit on the excitement and participation within this particular legislative session from the citizens, even in support of this current Democratic, what would you say, wipe out complete control over all state elected positions.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't surprise me a whole lot, because I feel like the level of people's participation or even their interest in following along has gone downhill over the years. So, you know, but I do think people should take advantage of that. And, you know, I understand why you didn't stick around to see it. You had a busy morning yesterday, too. But I'm not sure why there was so much space available there.
Yeah, you've got to see it for yourself. And so we dove in. There's a particular bill, HB 2123, that you spotted, that we highlighted in the first episode of this session. And it alarmed you. It was something that was very concerning. So you even signed up to testify. And there we were for Oley Insider covering the first committee hearing of the State Government and Tribal Relations Committee. Do you want to set up exactly whether it was emotional or studious, how you came across HB 2123 and what your initial thoughts were on it?
Sure. So the bill is the brief description that it provides. You know, the main headline that I saw was concerning foreign national participation in Washington state elections. So, I mean, it just kind of alarmed me right off the bat, because foreign nationals aren't supposed to participate in our elections. And then, you know, when I started looking more into the bill, I actually ended up doing quite a bit of research, you know, going back and forth between federal laws and court cases and all this stuff to really try to fully understand it. But I mean, just the title of the bill is alarming in itself. So that's just kind of how it caught my attention to begin with.
Yeah. And then when you go, if you go to the legislative website, we're going to have a tutorial on helping navigate the legislative website coming out soon on Ole Insider to help people navigate the test, signing up to testify. But when you click on the, let's see here, it's the...
The bill analysis.
That's it. So there's bill documents, the original bill, and that's the raw, straight from the Office of Program Research bill. And then there's the bill reports. And so what you click on is the, and this is on the main page for any bill. This is in one in particular is HB 2123. And if it's been delivered to committee, there should be a bill report. So you click on the House Bill Analysis, and it gives a brief summary of the bill. And I want to back up your alarm when you first read the title. Again, the title is Concerning Foreign National Participation in Washington State Elections. What? And then you read the brief summary of the bill, and it only backs up that alarm because this bill, HB 2123, is said to repeal the state prohibition on contributions and expenditures by foreign nationals and the corresponding certification requirements.
Yes, so that's not any, there's no comfort there.
No, yeah, quite alarming. I mean, it's on its face, when you're doing a surface analysis, this seems that this is going to allow, legally allow, under state law, foreign participation in elections.
Yes. And then when you open up the original bill in that same page there, you know, before you clicked on the bill analysis, and you can see all of the adjustments or, you know, edits that they're trying to make to current law. And the stuff that they had crossed out on there appears to be mostly it's related to the paperwork that is required for a campaign, like the treasurer to fill out when they're, you know, dealing with campaign donations. They're supposed to fill out this form that pretty much says none of these contributions are from foreign nationals.
Yeah, yeah. So immediately what I saw when I looked at it, and I was backing you up with my cursory research, I wasn't digging into RCWs in court cases like you, but I saw something interesting. I saw that this was bipartisan legislation, meaning the sponsors of the bill had both Democrats and Republicans.
Right.
And naturally, yeah, from our cursory look, it's like, whoa, this is alarming. And now we've got Republicans also signing on to this. So jumped in my car, hopped on the telephone, and I tracked down these Republicans to try to understand the why. My first meeting was with Representative Graham, Republican, not coming to memory right now, her legislative district, but I think it's on the east side. And she came out and met with me and said, oh, no, I withdrew my name from that bill. That was and basically cited a clerical error on how she got attached to that bill. So once again, I'm thinking to myself, okay, so she's backing out. She's saying clerical error. She's taking her name off this bill. Let's meet with the next Republican. And that was Representative Corey. Somewhere over there in the Yakima area again. Sorry, my memory's not thinking of the exact legislative district. And I met with Representative Corey, and he was nice enough to see me. Do you want to run through the first clip I received from Representative Corey at this point?
Yes, let's go ahead and hear it.
Okay, because it's important as we're digging in and trying to understand that you – even in the face, the title of this particular episode is The Magic Trick of Legislation. And it's important to remember that there are different perspectives and explanations. And so when you jump to one conclusion, don't forget to always fact check yourself and seek the nuance within these legislative bills. So Representative Corey...
It's always good to hear both sides of the argument, right?
Yeah, yeah. And last year, we were there were several pieces of legislation that we took second thoughts on after hearing the underlying intent. I remember that district attorney's bill last year that was trying to actually free up the backlog of court cases in the Seattle area. And we discovered when we looked into that more, there was a bit of a rift between the legislature and the Seattle DA's office. And so, you know, it's always good to look into these things. You might actually find something even more troubling and or concerning and or illuminating in that secondary investigation. So I came to Representative Corey. He wasn't backing down. He was saying, yeah, I've got, you know, let me tell you why. And here he is.
Just to back up a little bit, the reason why we have this current law all went back to 2020 session in the height of all the fake Trump-Russia collusion hoax BS. The Democrats wanted to make it that national story, a state issue. So they introduced a bill, quote unquote, banning foreign contributions in elections. Already illegal, already against, violates federal law. You can't do it. What this essentially set up was they took, for lack of a better term, the federal law and put it into state law. Great. Good. We agreed with that. But what they created was this silly reporting requirement that actually does nothing to protect, financial integrity. It is literally this PDF form that has like three lines on it. And then you have to have somebody sign it and give it to you, and they give you a donation and you have to keep it. And then the PDC has really no, I think they could theoretically go in and audit you and look through them. But it's never happened, and it doesn't seem to be any sort of enforcement mechanism. So all this bill is doing is removing the little self-attested report that you have to print and keep. That's it. There was some concern about how it was originally drafted, which was fair, and which I worked with the prime sponsor to get adjusted. So you're going to see a new substitution bill come in this week that keeps a lot of the language, because the concern was you're removing language. It looked like we were removing protections, even though, again, still a federal law. So we're going to keep all those. We're going to adjust caps a little bit so that most campaigns, like on the lower limit levels, won't have to print or keep these forms. Now, campaigns are still required to not accept money from foreign donors, and that's still barred under state law.
All right. So in that explanation, it all is the opposite of what the bill is titled. The summary says it's all well and good from that perspective.
Yes, and it sounds like he's just saying that it removes the reporting requirement, but not the ban on the contributions.
Which, as he says, you know, and this is important for the backstory of the legislation, is it was created in 2020, and as he states, it's already illegal. It's already federally illegal for foreigners to participate in our elections. This was virtue signaling to highlight the Russia collusion narrative in creating this state law when it was already illegal.
I do want to bring up one point about that, because I did look up at the federal law, and it very much, you know, related to the wording in the state law that they were taking out, I guess. The federal law, there was a court case. So it is illegal for foreign nationals to donate to a campaign or a political committee. But there was a court case saying that they can contribute to ballot measures or initiatives and stuff like that.
So you would say it would be important to keep that language in the state law addressing ballot measures, initiatives, in those sorts of circumstances?
Correct. That would be my opinion, just because, you know, we do have initiatives going around and stuff right now, and I think that would leave them vulnerable if they weren't covered in that law.
Okay, and that's going to require some follow-up. We'll have to keep our eye on that, because— you know, these things, he may say that this law was created, you know, in that virtue signaling cycle of the basically the psyop of the Russia collusion narrative that they were piling on that to highlight it. So this whole law was created in this instrument, this mechanism of reporting that treasurers for campaigns had to complete was all a farce from the beginning because federal law said it was already illegal. I would imagine in this web of laws that there is something somewhere out there, a law you may not have found that also includes ballot measures and initiatives and makes it illegal for foreign contributions in that regard. You know, possibly those are all considered committees also when there's an official opposition or for. We'll have to dig into that a little bit more and possibly ask our representative experts. The one thing I wanted to say on this also is that it was the opposition, the favorable side of this legislation was bipartisan in nature. There were several treasurers that testified in support of this legislation, and they were both treasurers that identified themselves as, you know, handling mostly conservative candidates, and there was one treasurer that testified that said that he basically handles Democrat campaigns, and they were all in favor of this particular legislation.
I guess the part I don't understand is why don't they just change the paperwork part of it and leave the rest of the language? You know, I guess that would be my first instinct as a fix for the issue if the paperwork is a burdensome process or whatever the case, because I do understand that can get in the way of, you know, campaigns and managing finances and all that stuff. Nobody wants to do burdensome paperwork. But I figure, you know, why don't they just change the paperwork?
Yeah, and we're gonna conclude on this particular HB 2123 with the second clip from Representative Corey, because he does speak to that. When I went to him after we got done talking, I knew that you were signed up to testify, and I said, hey, you know, you guys have already done all this backroom work on this bill, but that's not available to the public. And I kind of asked him about that process. And in that, he answers that question you just had, that they have amendments planned where they're going to keep the laws illegal, but change those requirements with thresholds. In other words, a treasurer doesn't have to create this cumbersome PDF file that means nothing unless the donation is over a certain amount. So let's go to that, and then we'll talk about the second bill we covered in that particular hearing, the ranked choice voting bill. So let's hear the final words from Representative Corey.
So I'm very much aware that we are subject to mistakes and flaws. And when people point out, like, well, this sounds like it could be bad in a bill, like, let's fix it, right? Let's have a good dialogue. I appreciate when people reach out. Most bills get changed through this process. I think this was a good change when we got some initial feedback after it was introduced about some of the concerns. So essentially what we're doing is hopefully fixing those. And if we need to tweak it some more, I'm happy to do that. But I believe the prime sponsor today will speak to that change coming. It's pretty standard in bill hearings, if we know a substitution's coming, addressing those, saying a substitution's coming, here's some of the changes. And hopefully the cons in testimony will, validate the reason for those changes, to address those. And I will hope my Republican committee members, if there's other stuff that gets brought up by the public that we haven't addressed yet, that they'll work to get it fixed.
So there you go. So that's the fixes they already have planned to this nothing burger that sounds alarming.
Now, you did tell people that I had signed up to testify. I do just want to inform people that there were a lot of people that had signed up to testify and they did not get to me. And then it was at the end of the hearing, and the chair said that because of the short session, you know, that may be the case when we have a lot of people signing up to testify. So it was a little bit disappointing, but, you know, in the end, there were a lot of people there and they can't get to everyone. So,
yeah, but one tidbit, weren't you the very first person to sign up to testify?
I was for that bill, yes. So I was a little disappointed, you know. I don't know how they choose who goes when, but it was a little bit disappointing because I was the only one signed up when I had signed up, you know, and then people signed up later and got to testify. But
yeah, and if you're not following Erica on X, it's For the Good, at For the Good. This was the exact same committee last year where she did a video kind of mocking the representatives as they all were on their phone while she was giving testimony. So, you know, if you're the conspiratorial minded type, you might think that that video got to them. I know that she did receive some blowback last year from that video. And so maybe this was a little get back, like, oh, you signed up to testify. Yeah, not you.
You know, it's very possible. Who knows? But I do know this is the second time it's happened to me. I don't remember if the first time was the same committee. But yes, I agree with that.
Okay, next up, in the same committee hearing, there was a bill that wasn't on my radar. You know, it's the typical language. We're talking about HB 2210, and that is protecting local representation by strengthening and securing fair elections in local governments. You know, it's one of these typical titled bills. But while we were in the hearing, I was paying attention to it, and it popped on my radar because it's something that's very concerning to me. And as the my partner in activism, Erica Engelhardt, being an election expert, I'm sure it was concerning to you as well.
Yes, it was. But, you know, it is strange because this is not the first bill that tries to implement ranked choice voting. There was another bill last year that I had also testified on, but it just seems like they're just trying to shove this through under all kinds of different bill titles. So,
yeah, and the brief summary of the bill is it permits the adoption of ranked choice voting in elections for offices in counties, cities, towns, school districts, fire districts, and port districts until December 31st, 2032, and establishes certain requirements for ranked choice voting ballot design and vote tabulation. It requires jurisdictions that adopt ranked choice voting to provide educational materials for the public and pay implementation costs.
Which can be very expensive. I mean, some of these election systems that the counties are using may not even be able to count ranked choice voting ballots. So it could be a very high cost that it would cause here.
Yeah. So they're essentially skipping statewide elections and looks like legislative races, and they're Trojan horsing ranked choice voting, making it available to certain municipalities and districts on those at the local election level. So a nightmare for state, for county auditors. And
right.
So that popped me because ranked choice voting is a wonderful philosophical argument to have in intellectuals with a glass of wine. But when you look at the implementation, the results have been bad. And it is a confusing mess.
Yes.
And so when you're talking about elections, you're talking about making it straightforward for a populace that already is not participating in elections at a level that we would want. And this throws a whole new confusing layer on top of it.
Yeah.
But when I was...
Sorry, I just want to mention because, you know, there's situations in ranked choice voting where the person who receives the most votes may not be the winner. And that's very difficult to explain to people, you know, which just causes a lot of confusion.
Yeah. And it's always done in the name of lifting up disenfranchised communities, lifting up minority communities. They always have that virtue at the end. Well, Secretary of State Hobbs actually testified on this bill, and I found his testimony very interesting because he basically destroys all of the underlying virtuous reasons for ranked choice voting. Let's get to his testimony.
I'll try to make it short, Madam Chair. Thank you so much. And for the record, I'm Steve Hobbs, your Secretary of State. I come before this committee multiple times speaking against ranked choice voting. And once again, I'm doing it again. And to remind you all that I actually was a supporter of ranked choice voting. That all changed when I became Secretary of State. And it changed because I realized that ranked choice voting disenfranchises and disadvantages people of color, those that where English is not their first language, people with disabilities. And at the time, I really didn't have all the studies in place because they hadn't come out yet. They were coming out at the time. They're being analyzed. And so three studies right now from Princeton, University of Minnesota, University of Pennsylvania, all show, every single one of them, shows high rejection rates, higher drop-off, and lower turnout. And the main demographic that it affects are communities of color, are immigrant communities. They looked at New York City, they looked at Maine, they looked at Alaska, and time again, it shows this. The rejection rate in this state, you know, it's not acceptable. We don't like it if it's just one person. And I know you all have been very good at reminding me that I need to get that rejection rate down. Rejection rate at this state is not even 2%. It's like 1.1, 1.4, it depends on the election. On ranked choice voting, it is magnitudes higher. The first initial look at ranked choice voting, just because you're marking so much, right, on each position. So there's more mistakes. So it's 4.8% on kind of the low end. And again, the drop-off happens quite a bit versus our state and other states. Look, we have a great system here. We really do. I mean, you get your ballot at your home. You got 18 days. You don't even have to get a stamp, right? And it is so easy to figure out, especially those close races. The person with the most votes wins. And that has worked for our state. Now, just as a reminder, if you want to go forward with this, and of course, I'm the Secretary of State. You pass the law. Governor signs it. I'm going to do everything I can to try to make it happen. But this will be costly. In New York and Maine and all those states, or all those municipalities and states, they put the money out to try to educate the voters, yet still there was a higher drop-off. Yet there was higher rejection rates. There's not enough money out there. We can't even do it for our own elections. As you know, Madam Chair, there are communities out there that don't receive voters' guide in their language because it hasn't reached that minimum federal threshold. I'm dealing with a lot of threats. Russia, China, Iran. We've got our own folks that don't trust our elections, and we're trying to turn that around by letting people know about how our elections are ran, because that's our fault. We haven't done more on that, and we are starting to do it now with your help, with the funding. We've tried to turn that around. If you put ranked choice voting in, it's going to mess a lot of that up. It's very confusing, like I said, and it's very costly. So, Madam Chair, members of the committee, I would hope that you would turn down this bill.
So there you go. We've got some Dem on Dem violence in the committee hearing.
That's a big brawl. I kind of appreciate that he said that he used to be a supporter of ranked choice voting, and then after becoming Secretary of State, he no longer supports it.
Yeah, following the party line blindly until reality strikes. I think that's the analysis there.
That works.
All right. It was a bit of a long show this time. I hope you hung in there with us, and we'll be around again. We've got a tutorial coming up on how to navigate the legislative website, to submit your testimony, the pro, the con, the written, the oral. Erica and I go through that, and we're going to be participating. We've got committee hearings this week still that we're gonna be checking out, and we'll see you again the next time on the Ole Insider Podcast.
Let us take a step back and let us reason together.
The legislative process can be intimidating. Let's go through it together.
If you could focus on the policy and not motives, please proceed.
Like and subscribe to Ole Insider on your favorite podcasting app. All resources and show notes will be available for each episode at oleinsider.com.
Mr. Speaker, I've stood up on the House floor repeatedly this year.
You can follow Erica Engelhart on X @ForTheGood. @JFrat on X @JFrat and Positive Intentions Media on X @PubSecMedia.
It is our duty.
I really want to say thank you.